friends, is perhaps a book that you've never encountered, never read for yourself, taken the opportunity to do so. Well, the opportunity is afforded you this afternoon. Copy of an extract, at least from the Bible, or an entire Bible. Gladly place one into your hands if you so wish. Read for yourself and see that the things that I seek to bring to your attention week by week are in fact according to what God has revealed in His Word in the Bible. So it's offered to you at least free of charge and without any cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Of course, were you to read the Bible, you would find that as well as many entreaties, many promises, great encouragements for people to seek the Lord while He may be found. That is to diligently seek after the Lord. The Bible says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. He is to be found, in other words. Some people, of course, they say to me, give me evidence, 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 give me evidence, show me evidence that God is, that He exists. And I say, no, not at all, because the evidence is all around you. It's in your face every time that you look on the wall. So you have all the evidence that you need. Your place is simply to raise the white flag in surrender and submit yourself to the Almighty. But anyway, that's His Word. It's offered to you, as I say, without any cost or any obligation to you. As well as those promises, as well as those encouragements that you find in the Bible, you will also find warnings too. And warnings, of course, that God's servants are told to bring to bear upon the population at their peril if they don't. So, you see, it is my solemn duty to bring to you not just the message of God's love, His compassion, His mercy. The gospel, of course, is good news for sinners who repent and believe the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is afforded them, is promised to them, all who do such. But it is my bounden duty solemnly to bring to your attention the message of God's judgment for those who are impenitent, for those who refuse to turn from their sin, who reject the Son of God. The Bible says, whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God remains, abides upon them. So it's my duty to bring to you the solemn message, the warnings that God issues in His Word, in the Bible also. Let me read, if I may, a few words for you this afternoon from the Old Testament. It goes like this. Woe to those who decree iniquitous, lawless decrees, that is, and the writers who keep writing oppression, to turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil and that they may make the fatherless their prey. What will you do on the day of punishment in the ruin that will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help and where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all this, His anger has not turned away, and His hand is stretched out still. For all this, His anger has not turned away, and His hand is stretched out still. speaks of a time when God's anger was stretched out towards his people, his ancient people, the people that is of Israel. But of course, this is applicatory for us as a nation even today, because the hand of God is stretched out towards us, but not in salvation. Salvation, I tell you, is seldom to be found amongst you. There are very, very few in this day who are saved. Disciples of the Lord Jesus asked him the question on one occasion, "Are there few who are saved?" He didn't answer them, but the implication was, yes, few. Only those, of course, chosen according to God's purpose in election. But it's a certain fact for anyone with eyes to see, with an ounce of discernment, that the Almighty's hand is stretched out against us in anger. For all this, for all that he has done in this nation, and for all that he is doing now, still you take no heed. You reject him, and you reject the gospel, his overtures of love. And the result is that his hand is stretched out in anger against you. You have to understand, you see, that this day and generation that you are living in, it's a generation of the wrath of God. And his wrath, you see, the marks of his displeasure are being revealed constantly, the Bible tells us so. That the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that, of course, is blatantly and obvious to anyone in this day and generation. But of course, that is not to say that a day of God's wrath is not coming. Of course it is. At the end, he will judge the world, you yourself, in righteousness for all your ungodliness and all your unrighteousness, the means by which you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But think, if you will, of the evils that God has given you over to as a nation. God has delivered this nation. If you know anything at all about the history of your nation, God has delivered us many, many times from many great evils. If you want to take history, near history, over the last century, delivered from two world wars, from the evils of the false and wicked religion, from the evils of Nazism, German Nazism. God has delivered this nation, I tell you, from many and great evils. But neither have we been thankful, and neither have we turned to him in the obedience that he deserves. We have not learned the lessons, you might say, and the result of this is that for all this, his anger, his hand is stretched out against us in anger. Perhaps, maybe, I don't know, I'm only a preacher, I'm not a prophet, but maybe, perhaps, God has forsaken us altogether as a nation. But of course, we would deserve nothing less because we've forsaken him. And the result is, I think, that he has forsaken us. I hope not, I pray not, but that might well be the case. But for all this, for all that God has brought upon you in terms of judgments, and of course they have been many, and there are still many that are amongst you now, for all this, You still have not learned the lessons. You have not repented of your sin. Turn from your evil ways and believe the gospel, the message of God's salvation. Think, if you will, how that God has delivered you up to this false idea of the Darwinian evolutionism, you know? This philosophy, this idea that you use to continue in your godless ways, you know, the thinking that there is no God. Some of you, you tell me, you say, no thank you, I'm not religious, I don't want to be religious. But of course you are. You're just as religious as anybody else in your godlessness. Godless evolutionism, that's the popular religion of the day, don't you know? It's only what you believe, it's not what you can prove, it's not science at all. It's just the wishful thinking of ungodly, depraved sinners who wish there to be no God so that they can carry on in their godless and unrighteous ways. But you see, you've been delivered over to this false idea. You're locked into it, you see. It's pervasive in your nation today. You've been taught it yourselves. You teach it to your children and your grandchildren. And so you're all bound, you're all locked into this godless thinking. And of course, the consequences of it are horrific. But for all this, you see, you still haven't learned, you still haven't turned, and you haven't embraced the gospel, the good news of God's salvation that would deliver you from such false notions, false thinking that there is no God. And of course, this principal notion, you see, of evolution, Darwinianism, this godless thinking, you see, it's the fountain of all the other evils that have come upon you. And in spite of all these evils coming upon you, for all this, his hand is stretched out still, his anger is still towards you. Think, if you will, of the death, you see, that has come out of this fountain of evolutionary thinking. It's a philosophy of death. God says in his word in the Bible, those who hate me love death. And of course, that's writ large right across your nation. Death by euthanasia, a good death. There is no such thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. Anyone who dies without Christ is bound for a lost eternity, hell's damnation. So it's not a good death at all. Abortion, euthanasia, and of course, well, every other means by which you bring death to people, it's almost as though your National Health Service, it strains at the bit thinking as to how they can get rid of more patients rather than healing them. But you see, your notion, your philosophy of evolution that you have embraced, it's a philosophy of death. It produces death, nothing but utter despair. It's the fountain out of which all the other evils that God has brought upon you in judgment, in justice, come from. But for all this, his hand is stretched out still, and his anger is still towards you. Evolutionary thinking, of course, was what gave birth to the society of promiscuity. Some of you will remember back in the 60s the well-known phrase, make love, not war. And of course the door was open to sensuality, to uncleanness and to fornication that has birthed other evils. And of course that promiscuity has increased over the years more and more, even to this day. And still of course you continue in that way, and it has brought nothing but utter destruction, sexually transmitted disease, chlamydia and AIDS, and of course all the others. I think maybe if you got rid of your promiscuity, your National Health Service would probably recover overnight, for they spend billions treating not only the disease that comes from promiscuity, but of course the disease that comes from your drunkenness too. But for all this, his hand is stretched out still in anger towards you as a nation as a result of all these things. Another that has come out of another evil that has come out of the fountain of your evolutionary godless thinking is that of abortion. Millions in the Western world, millions of unborn infants dragged from their mothers' wombs and slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure. Well, you don't want the child, it's so inconvenient. The mother must have her lifestyle, her holidays. Thank you, my dear. She must have her holidays, her lifestyle. She can't be bothered to bring the child up, so just away with it, slaughter it, kill it. It's murder. That's what God calls it. You call it abortion, God calls it murder. And for all this, in spite of all this slaughter, all this blood that you have in your hands as a nation, why? Because you've not even, you might not have been involved in abortion, but have you raised your voice against it, cried out against the bloodshed? As a nation, we are all of us guilty before God. And for all this, his hand is stretched out still, and his anger is against us. And another fruit of the promiscuity and the godless thinking, notions that you have that there is no God, it has also birthed, of course, all the illegitimate children that you have to pay and care for through your taxes. You know, the thousands and thousands of illegitimate children that wander through your nation. Many of them that don't even know who their fathers are. Even their mothers don't know who their fathers are. Illegitimate children, not to mention his cursing and swearing in the presence of God. You see, people, for all this, his hand is stretched out still. His anger is towards you because of all these abortions, of all these illegitimate children that you've produced, fatherless, many of them fatherless. And of course, your nanny state has to look after them, has to feed and clothe them, because there's no father to do so. You see, it's another mark, it's another evidence, it's another demonstration of his hand stretched out towards you in anger, in wrath, in divine displeasure. And then, of course, marriage has been destroyed, but it was destroyed long, long before Mr. Cameron redefined it. You destroyed it yourselves. You gave up on it long, long ago. But of course, Mr. Cameron has crowned it by having it redefined, calling it a marriage that's no marriage at all. But you see, all of these things, you see, are marks of God's judgment upon you as a nation. For all this, his hand is stretched out still, and his anger, you see, is towards you as a nation. And now, of course, you have widespread sodomy throughout the entirety of the islands. Some would think, of course, that the referendum, its result in Southern Ireland at the weekend, it was some kind of a victory. No, it was not. It was a defeat, people, for the nation. It was another mark, another token of the divine displeasure of God's wrath towards you as a nation. For all this you've been delivered up to as a result of your godlessness and unrighteousness, for all this his hand is stretched out still and his anger is still towards you. And then, of course, another token of the divine displeasure is that of the heathen religion, you see, that you've been given over to. You won't have the God of grace and love. You won't have the God who so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe upon him would not perish but have eternal life. Oh, you wouldn't have him. He wasn't suitable. We don't like him. So God has given you up to heathen religion. It has invaded your land and it increases by the day. And the time is coming, of course, as things go on, it will come into the ascendancy and it will no longer smile upon you. You see its real nature in the Middle East, how it beheads people, stones people. It loves death, you see. It's a death-dealing religion. And when it comes to the ascendancy in your own nation here, well, you'll see its true nature then. But that's because you rejected the God of love. You rejected the God who would save you, the true and living God. So he's given you over. He's given you over to this false and heathen religion. So you see, for all this,
Christianity's the same. It's guilty of loads of murders.
How is it?
Is it? I'll tell you loads of quotations.
Go on then.
What about the bit in the Bible
where
Jesus encourages castration? What about that bit?
What does it say that?
It says that all the castrated people get into heaven. What are they called about?
No, it doesn't say that at all.
It does, yeah?
No, it doesn't.
Quote it to you?
No.
What about?
Well, give me the chapter and verse.
Well, what about Jericho? What about when Joshua...
Yeah.
What about when Joshua made a census of the city? What did God do with that then?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'll answer you, but let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If we were to send troops, if we were to send an army, right?
Yeah.
Americans, Brits, whatever like,
yeah.
To the Middle East, yeah.
Yeah,
no, listen, hear me, yeah. And to destroy what they call ISIS. For all the mayhem and all the murder and the blood that they're shedding, if we were to send troops there and destroy them, would you say that was righteous?
Would I say that's righteous?
Would you say that?
I wouldn't. I'll tell you why I wouldn't.
You think it's good that they're doing that then?
What? What ISIS? Let's get a couple of things. First things clear.
No, answer my question. Would you say that? Would you say that was righteous?
Righteous.
No. Well, somebody has to deal with them, don't they?
So why do we have to deal with them?
Well, somebody must. Because it's going to come to you soon.
Why won't God deal with them then?
Pardon?
Why won't God deal with them? God created them.
Yeah, but God uses people.
God's will for this to happen then?
That's what he created them for, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
But why did he do that then? Why did he create
Because you've rejected them.
Because I've rejected him?
Yes.
Okay, then let's get a couple. So God, is God eternal, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, then. So how did he create everything out of nothingness? What's nothingness?
What? Nothing's nothing.
Nothing's nothing.
Yeah.
In what sense? Zero.
Zero. Yeah, he speaks.
Zero was created.
He speaks.
Zero is a concept.
No, it's not. No,
it's not. It's
not.
Nothingness.
He spoke the word and he brought it into being by his power.
It's impossible for things to be
created. For you. For you it is, but not for God.
It just is. It's impossible. Because you haven't explained what nothingness is.
No, because that's you don't believe. Because you'll never understand until you believe.
Right.
Yeah, it's your unbelief that keeps you from understanding.
From understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this.
The evidence is all around you. It's in your face.
Right. You're trying to use aesthetic belief as classical thinking, and it's not.
No.
But it's completely different. You're trying to like walk in the grounds of what scientific reason, and it's not possible.
No.
But God's not real. God's not real because nothingness is impossible. Nothingness is a concept.
Is it?
It's impossible for things to be created.
Is it?
Well, yeah, because if God created...
So how do you think all this came into being then?
It's just always existed. It's never been created. It's just always...
But it must have come from somewhere.
No, you're using rational logic there.
No.
It's not possible.
Sorry. Anyway, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, but don't use the old thing that, like, Islam's bad in Christianity, is it?
Have a good day. Have a good day,
yeah,
sir. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like I was saying, people, you know, you reject the God of love, the true and living God, and he, in turn, you see, gives you over to this heathen religion. He's delivered you from heathen religion in the past, you see, many times before. You know, the false pagan notions of Rome, Roman Catholicism, by the Protestant preaching of the gospel, you were delivered from the hands of such. But now, of course, you've rejected God. You've rejected the truth of the Protestant gospel that delivered you in days past. And so now God has given you over to this other brand of the same pagan religion, that of Islam. And of course, when it comes into the ascendancy, as I said, it will no longer smile upon you. It will turn, of course, and it will bite you. And then, of course, you've been delivered over to lying politicians. I read in one of the newspapers today that it's just become an acceptable fact in Parliament that people tell lies, you know, all of them, each and every one of them. And of course, you know yourself that you can't trust a one of them. But you see, you've all, every single one of you, you love the lie, you see. It's not just politicians, it's the nation as a whole. You've exchanged the truth for a lie. You've believed the lie of the devil. You've believed the lie of Satan, you see. And so you've been delivered up, you've been given over, not just to lying statesmen, if you could call them that, lying politicians, the lying, cheating, perverse politicians, of course, that lead you astray in these days. But all is of God, you see. It's another mark, it's another evidence, you see, of his divine wrath towards you. For all this, his hand is stretched out still, and his anger is towards you. But you see, everyone is godless. Everyone, God says, is an evildoer. It is a fact, you see, as the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as a result of all this, you see, there is no mercy, there is no divine compassion towards you, only his holy displeasure, divine displeasure. And of course, when it comes to the time when God will bring his punishment to bear upon you, well, I ask you, to whom will you turn? To whom will you go? There is no one, you see, there will be no one for you to turn to. Everyone speaks foolishness. You heard the notions of the young man I was speaking to just a few moments ago. You see, the same foolishness. It's another domino effect. It's another knock on, you see, from the wrath of God. For a people who have exchanged the truth for a lie, he gives them over to their heart's desire, to the uncleanness and to the foolishness. And so everyone speaks foolishness. You can't get a sensible conversation with anyone. And of course, all the talk in your National Health Service today is about obesity. You see, you eat, but you're never satisfied. No matter how much you eat, you see, you're never satisfied. There's never contentment with you, no matter what you have and no matter what you devour. But again, you see, it's all divine displeasure. It's all a mark, you see, of the wrath, the displeasure of God. And then, of course, there, well, as the prophet says, the iniquitous legislation, laws that are brought into being, enactments that are brought into being, permitting, making, sin making evil, calling evil good and calling good evil. That which is contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word of God. So I ask you again, what will you do on the day when He punishes you? For He most certainly will. And to whom will you flee for safety? Well, I tell you, and I have to tell you people, there is only one person to whom you can flee, you can turn to, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. I come amongst you because there is a remnant amongst you, only a remnant, only a small remnant amongst you, according to God's purpose in election, that will be saved, that will be plucked from the burning from amongst you. I think it would be a safe bet if I were a gambling man, but I'm not. It would be a safe bet to wager that the majority of you, under the sound of my voice this afternoon, will perish in your sin, will go to a lost eternity. But there is a remnant, there is a small number left within the nation that God will choose, that God will call, and that God will bring to salvation. But it will only be a remnant. The Bible says that God shows mercy on whomever He wills, and He hardens whomever He wills. And of course, well, it's been my experience in 30 odd years of preaching that the preaching of the gospel simply serves to harden the most of you and to fit you for the day of judgment. But for those who have ears to hear, for those who will listen, thank you, my dear, for those who will listen diligently, I mean, hearken to God's voice, that day of punishment may never come. That day of His divine wrath you might be saved from. The goodness, you see, and the severity of God, the kindness and the judgment of God, both of them, you see, ought to lead you to repentance. When you see acts of divine judgment, when you see all these marks of judgment upon your nation, it ought to make you take note and think to yourself, as in the words of Jesus, "Except I repent, I shall also perish just like them." So you see, people, you ought to have been led to repentance a long, long time ago. Yet there is hope through yonder narrow gate and down the narrow pathway, the one that leads to eternal life. That is following Jesus, following the Son of God. The narrow gateway and the narrow pathway that will lead you to a cross, a blood-stained cross, where the Savior, where the Son of God bled and died for sinners. Those who have displeased God, even enemies, enemies of God, blasphemers, immoral, evolutionists, even atheists, yeah, even they can be turned beneath the shadow of the cross. As you gaze up at that cross in the eyes of faith and see the love of God in Christ Jesus, when it begins to melt your heart to tears of repentance and you cast yourself upon Him, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the Savior of the world, God will impart mercy to you. The Savior died for sins, not that He had done, but that you have done. He died to make peace with God, that you might be reconciled to God through the blood of His cross. But that peace that He has made must be consciously, willingly, and deliberately received by you. In faith, that is, turning from your sin and turning to the Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. All who resort to Him will be saved. All who call upon Him will be saved. The believing shall not perish. Whoever believes shall be saved. Whoever does not believe shall be condemned. Without the Son of God, in that day when He punishes this nation severely for their crimes against God, I tell you, those who believe will escape such punishment, but those who believe not will not. You are, as a nation, without hope in this world and without hope in the world to come. But I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son alone, turns away the fierce anger of God, His displeasure, which is upon this nation at this time and this day. And I call upon you, as God's Word does, to repent and believe the gospel, the good news about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He comes near to you in the preaching of the gospel, even now at this time. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon all of your sins deep dyed, however many and however gross. There is no sin, I tell you, deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ that cannot be forgiven, blotted out by Calvary's blood. If you will but this day turn from your sin, repent of them, turning to the Savior in faith, believing, you shall be saved. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From sin's penalty, its wages are still death, physical and eternal death, everlasting death. And of course, saved from the power of sin that grips and holds you in a vice-like grip and won't let go, no matter how much you fight and try. Only through the power of the risen Jesus can sin, any sin, be overcome. Believe, call upon His name, and you shall be saved from the penalty, the power, and even the presence of sin that permeates your sin-cursed and sin-torn world. Call upon the Savior, and you shall be saved. You will not be disappointed or put to shame. For all this, His hand is stretched out still, and His anger is upon us as a nation, you as an individual. And the only way that that hand can be turned to a hand of salvation is through Jesus, the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Well, it's all in God's Word. You'd like to have a copy of God's book, take home with you, read, see that these things are so in accordance with the Word of God. And maybe perhaps as you read and as I pray for you, God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself in Jesus Christ, His Son. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Want somebody to pray for you? Happy to do that. But please, take a copy of God's Word home with you, offered to you without charge, cost, or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. May God have mercy upon your souls. Thank you.